The Bible says there is coming a time that will be characterized by distress with perplexity. Are we there yet?
The Harris administration made Iran, Harris, Biden, Obama, made Iran $200 billion richer. You know why they're able to do terrorism? Because of Obama, Biden, and Harris giving them $200 billion. What they did in D.C. is shut down the roads. They spray-painted Death to America on your national monuments. They wrote on your monuments, Hamas is coming. That's a terror threat. That's not free speech. That's a terrorist threat.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, radio for the remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. In part one of our programming, we feature Michelle Bachman from our Understanding the Times One Night event, August 1st. In part two, we consider the deeper implications of the near assassination of former President Trump. Here is today's programming.
So glad you can join me for the programming today. And, you know, we find our world reeling with dilemmas and distress, or as the term the Bible uses, distress with perplexity. Economics, distress, escalating wars and rumors of wars, escalating birth pains, political turmoil everywhere. And that is why we featured Michelle Bachman at our Understanding the Times One Night event in suburban Minneapolis, August 1st. We gave her a platform for 2 hours. My co-host for the evening was Pastor Mark Henry of Revive Church, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. We live-streamed the event to almost 40 nations that night and had an overflow crowd at the conference location. And I'm going to play about 25 minutes approximately of Michelle's message, just a portion of it now. And we're asking some of the following questions. I mean, who is really running the country? Did Joe Biden really have a medical emergency in Las Vegas in mid-July? What is so unusual about the coronation of Kamala Harris? Both presidential candidates, both of them were removed, although one, former President Trump, overcame and survived an assassination attempt. Another talking point, what was happening behind the scenes when Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu was in Washington, D.C. a month ago. Another, what was behind the mostly peaceful Washington, D.C. riots when Netanyahu was present? How concerned should we be about Kamala Harris and her pro-jihadi views, her anti-Israel sentiment, and now her running mate, Minnesota's governor, who Minnesotans are happy to get rid of, Tim Walz? And the globalists are now dictating who can be in power and who can't. Are we surprised? But who is the puppet master? Just a few of the questions that were addressed, including, not the least of which, can we ever go back to normal in America or anywhere in the world? I'm going to play just a portion of the evening in part one of my programming today. You can watch it at no cost on my website, olivetreeviews.org, and go to video, or on our Rumble channel under Olive Tree Ministries. Again, olivetreeviews.org, and to video, or on our Rumble channel, not on YouTube for obvious reasons. Order a DVD in my online store if you'd like for just $10, or call my office. Here's Michelle.
I went to be present last week in Washington, D.C. when Prime Minister Netanyahu spoke to Congress. I have lifetime privileges. I wanted to be in the chamber. I told Jan, I just want to be there so I can pray. Because all of this hostility was started, I just wanted to be there to pray. I got there. I prayed with some members of Congress and pastors beforehand in a side room. I came into the chamber when he came in. One of the finest speeches I've ever heard in my life, a total Churchillian speech. Meanwhile, while he was in giving the speech of a lifetime, terrorist supporters were freely walking the streets of Washington, D.C. They were destroying your public property. They were causing havoc and terrorist acts all across the city of Washington, D.C. This is very gross, I have to admit, but Prime Minister Netanyahu was staying at the Watergate Hotel in D.C. Someone just happened to find out that's where he was staying. He is the most heavily protected man with Secret Service protection. But someone managed to get into the Watergate Hotel. Take a look at this. This is a TikTok video. And they brought maggots, mealworms, crickets, and they went throughout the hotel and let them loose. Let them loose where Prime Minister Netanyahu was staying. Then they pulled the fire alarms. So the night before his speech, this is what happened. Was this an inside job? I don't know how anybody else could get that kind of access to the Watergate Hotel. It's not normal. This has never happened before. Then Vice President Harris decided she'd give a cold shoulder to Prime Minister Netanyahu while he was here. She was supposed to preside over his speech in the House chamber. She decided to skip it. And this was, again, Prime Minister Netanyahu's first trip outside of Israel since October 7th. You think this is important? But she decided she was going to visit college sororities. So she sat down with sorority sisters. And in this clip, I want you to pay very close attention to her body language and her very cold demeanor toward Prime Minister Netanyahu. She's kinder to Hamas than she is to Netanyahu.
Vice President Harris in Washington, as you remember last week. Now, after the meeting, Harris did include this in her comments about Israeli actions in Gaza.
To everyone who has been calling for a ceasefire, and to everyone who yearns for peace, I see you and I hear you. What has happened in Gaza over the past 9 months is devastating. We cannot look away in the face of these tragedies. We cannot allow ourselves to become numb to the suffering, and I will not be silent.
That is code language. She was giving code language. She has been the bad cop for the Biden administration, Harris administration, and you can tell that she likes this job. It doesn't bother her at all to be the hard guy when it comes to Israel. She's actually the spokesperson for Hamas. She stands up at the microphone, and this is what she said in a terrible speech last November. She told Israel, like she was talking to a child, that after the war is over, and actually right now, you can't displace any of the Arab Palestinians in Gaza now. Look at Ukraine. About 10 million Ukrainians have left Ukraine. Any normal person with a brain would leave a war zone. That's what you do. You don't want your kids to get killed. But Harris said, under no uncertain terms, no one can leave Gaza during this war. You all have to stay. Why is that? That's Hamas's demand. They want more human shields. The guy that was just killed, the number two in Hamas, Hanania, he is the one, yes, he is the one who said we have to have more blood from women, from the elderly, from the children, because that will fire up our fighters so we can kill more Jews. That's the guy who just got killed. So here she is doing Hamas's bidding. In other words, no Gazans can leave their homeland. No reoccupation. In other words, Israel isn't allowed to come in. I got news for you. Gaza belonged to Israel. It belonged to Israel. Israel, being a nice guy, went forward and said, okay, freely of their own volition, you Arab Palestinians in Gaza, we'll let you have Gaza in 2005. Hey, we'll even pull out our 10,000 Jews that live there. We will give you their homes. We will give you their businesses. We'll give you the livestock, the cows that are there. They pulled them out. What did the people in Gaza do? Did they say thank you? No. They shot at the people as they were leaving, and they burned down all the houses. They burned down all the businesses. They even killed all the cows. So this is the kind of mentality that we're living with, because this is Terrorism, Inc. It is the terror state in Hamas. She told them again what they have to do and not do, but the thing that she ended with was this. She demands that a state, a political state, be given to the Arab Palestinians that killed 1,200 Jews and are still holding hostages today. They need to be rewarded with a state. That's what Harris said. So this is where this vice president, thinking she's going to be president, this is where she's at when it comes to Israel. Well, let's hear from our good old friend again, John Kirby. He's the spokesperson for the Obama administration. What does he have to say about these terrorist protests that happened during Prime Minister Netanyahu's speech?
And emotionally about that. You also said of these protests that are talking about killing the Jews and Hamas is coming and burning American flags, that they are funded by Iran, that we can now trace that back. Wouldn't it be a lot easier to stop these protests and for these protests not to happen if we were not giving sanction waivers to the same Iranian regime that is funding these protests?
Well, so a couple of things here. Number one, what I said was, we know, because the Director of National Intelligence made it public, that Iran has tried to sow discord here in the United States and is, in fact, funding some of this protest activity and encouraging some of this protest activity. But I don't think you can look at the wide swath of protest activity in the last few months and say that Iran was behind it all. It just doesn't comport with the facts. They're not. There's a lot of organic concern in the United States by Americans who feel passionately about what's going on in Gaza, and they are expressing those passions through largely peaceful protests around the country. That's what democracy is all about. That's what the president stands for. Heck, that's what he's trying to defend, and that's why he made his decision to step aside and not seek re-election.
Yeah, enough already. Largely peaceful protests, my eye. We in Minneapolis know what largely peaceful protests are all about. The Harris administration made Iran, Harris, Biden, Obama, made Iran $200 billion richer. You know why they're able to do terrorism? Because of Obama, Biden, and Harris giving them $200 billion. What they did in D.C. is shut down the roads. They spray-painted Death to America on your national monuments. They wrote on your monuments, Hamas is coming. That's a terror threat. That's not free speech. That's a terrorist threat. Hamas is coming. How many of these people do you think were even arrested? Hardly. These are the jihadists who are demanding death to Israel, but death to the United States. They plan to conquer the United States just like they plan to conquer the Jews. So here we go. Why is this important? Take a look. This is a demographic map. 25 years from now, what Europe is going to look like. Sweden will have 30% Muslim population. You look at the various European countries, completely demographically changed. Demography is destiny. That's why this issue should be driving our thinking in this election. With our open borders, the United States will not be the United States. It's a tragic mistake. And whose the borders are? Who's guarding the border? Harris is the border czar of our tragic open border. And she said that we should have the courage not to say radical Islamic terrorism. Have a listen.
This isn't that long ago, 2016, giving a speech to the Islamic Center of Southern California. Check this one out. Go.
You must have the courage to object when they use that term. Radical Islamic terrorism, which ignores how Muslims have overwhelmingly been the greatest victims of terror.
Harris is saying that we shouldn't use the term radical Islamic terrorism. We shouldn't use the term illegal alien. How much more is she telling us that we're not allowed to say? They go on and on.
What about Israel? She repeats the most anti-Semitic blood libel. She did it the other day against the Jewish people in Israel, against the elected prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and their citizen soldiers. She regurgitates Hamas's civilian casualty numbers without attacking Hamas for attacking their own people, killing them and beating them when they steal the food from them. That's a long way from President Harry Truman to Kamala Harris. Boycotts Israel's prime minister, historic speech in Congress. Sends the word to the Hamas hostage holders. We have your back. That's what she did. But she speaks to CARE. CARE is all supportive of Kamala Harris. CARE is a Hamas front group. It was founded in Philadelphia. The FBI wiretapped the meeting. There was big federal litigation. Everybody knows CARE. CARE is a Hamas front group, and she embraces them. They support her. That tells you where she is. And she and Biden support withholding weapons from Israel. What are they withholding? 120-millimeter tank ammunition, 120-millimeter mortar ammunition, medium tactical vehicles, medium air-to-air missiles. They're withholding F-15s, F-135 engines that the Israelis need for their F-35s. What else? JDAM, what are those? That converts unguided bombs into precision-guided munitions. Withholding it. What else are they withholding? MK-84, 2,000-pound bombs, because they don't want them bombing the Gazans, which is what they've been doing all along, don't you know? Just ask Hamas. Rifles from the Israeli National Police Force, 338 medium machine guns, Sig Sauers we call them, and more guided missile systems on hold. Wow, aren't they fantastic?
So just think, we now have the news from our Pentagon. Israel will likely be completely attacked within 72 hours. And you just saw the receipts. The Harris administration has withheld what Israel needs to defend herself, let alone go on offense. That's what we need to know. This is a huge moment, and we need to understand this just didn't happen in a vacuum. In less than a month's time, we've watched a political coup on the most powerful nation on earth, with one president thrown out who held tepid pro-Israel reviews, and replacing him with a new presidential candidate, Kamala Harris, who has pro-Iran, pro-Islamic jihadi views. Meanwhile, these masterminds believe they can pull the strings and rig the process to get their candidate, Harris, over the finish line no matter what. I'm telling you, this election has been completely upended. We had two obvious candidates. We thought it was going to be a rematch. Within a month, one is almost killed, the other one's removed, and he decides the next one who's coming in, who never gets a vote, who never makes a phone call, who never had to raise money, she's now the nominee. And who is she? The most anti-Israel candidate we have ever had. At the moment when Israel is at her greatest moment of peril. We know that now tonight from what the Pentagon told us. So we must pray. Because you see, this election this fall has grave consequences. Global consequences. Historic consequences. Consequences for Israel. Consequences for our nation. If our nation curses rather than blesses, what do you think is going to happen to our nation? We have to consider this. And these are consequences that could land all of us a front row seat to the culmination of history. But remember, it's always darkest before the dawn. And so we are coming up on this biblical time of the year that I talked about at the beginning, Teshuvah. Return. The Lord says, return to me and I will return to you. We're coming up on this time. It's a time of repentance. Join us for repentance. If you want to, please come to New York. Join in praying for the city of New York. They need prayer. They have cursed Israel. And that city needs an opportunity for blessing. And then, of course, contact Anita if you want to talk to me. So I'm so grateful for this day. God bless you. God bless the Jewish state and the United States of America.
If you join me late, I am playing just a portion of our Understanding the Times night back on August the 1st in suburban Minneapolis. Pastor Mark Henry and I featured Michelle Bachman that night, addressing a lot of current issues. I'm playing just a portion of her message and a very brief portion of the platform discussion. Again, watch all of it on our website, olivetreeviews.org, and go to video. You can watch the entirety on our Rumble channel under Olive Tree Ministries. Back to Michelle.
Michelle, I have got an introductory question for you based on No Longer Normal. That's the title. Do you think we can go back to normal?
I think that that is up to the sovereign will of God, if that's what he wants. And I think if there's anything that's repetitive throughout the Bible, it's that for all people, all time, everywhere, the answer is the same. And it is returning to the Lord. Amen. It's repenting, it's confessing as individuals and as nations. And I think if we see as a nation that we are repenting and confessing and turning to God as a nation, I think that he pulls back his hand of judgment. But we can't go fast enough into judgment right now. We just can't to get there. So the Lord is just. He knows the righteous and the unrighteous, the wheat and the tare, and none of us are righteous, not one. It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ by which we're saved. But as a nation, when God speaks to nations, nations have to turn back to him. And I think that should be part of our prayer, that our nation would turn back to him. And I think the jury's out.
Well, one thing's for sure, we can turn back to the Lord individually, right?
Yes.
I mean, this is really important. I mean, you think about the dispensation in which we live is to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And obviously, God works among the nations throughout time and history. And Michelle, I think you're absolutely right. In the providence of God, he shows kindness to nations, but all nations have a timeline. And, you know, Jan and I often talk about the battle of Gog and Magog. We know there's going to be a tipping point when Israel's going to be alone. And guess what? Russia, Turkey, Iran, and some of their friends are all going to converge on Israel, and they're going to stand alone. And you know, as you look at what you just shared, in fact, I'm overwhelmed. I'm almost speechless of how you connected all of those dots. You know, people say, Jan and I sometimes talk about conspiracy theories. When you see all of the facts that she just laid out before you, that's not speculation. These are all facts, and you have to make cognitive decisions based upon those facts. And the reality is, at some point, America is not going to support Israel.
Yeah.
And it says Israel will stand alone. Those nations, the Battle of Gog and Magog, will come against Israel, which I just mentioned. And God will deliver them, and they will know, Israel will know, the nations will know that there's a God in heaven. And I would suggest to you we are on the cusp of that even right now. But by the grace of God, we may dodge a bullet. We'll come back to that in just a moment. But it sure seems like we're right there. You talked about a miracle that happened, and I was in South Africa. I woke up on Sunday morning, my phone had blown up, there was like 40 jillion texts on there, and this picture was there. And you gotta understand, the South Africans, everywhere I went, they said, Mark, you Americans have gotta get your stuff together, because how it goes for America determines what happens to the rest of us.
That's
please.
Right. That's right.
Tell everyone to
That's
get
right.
your act together.
That's right.
What's going on there? Are you guys going nuts or what? And I'm going, you know, I apologize. I mean, and so when this unfolded, as soon as I saw what happened, I have grown up in the shooting world. I'm just telling you, this is an illustration of deep state tampering, because this should never have happened.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And there's some out there, some of my friends who think, you know, other things about it. But the reality is, this was the gracious hand of God. And I'm just going to give you two illustrations as soon as I saw it. Do you remember George Washington? He had, in the Battle of Princeton, he had two horses shot out from underneath him, took his coat off, and there were four bullet holes in it. At one point, he's only 30 yards from the British line. In the providence of God, he survived that moment. If you remember, Teddy Roosevelt was speaking in Milwaukee, not far from here, October 14th, 1912. He stood up to speak. A gentleman shot him. He was a hunter. He was kind of like me. He looked around. He knew he wasn't coughing up blood, so he knew it didn't hit his lungs. He delivered a one-hour speech and then went to the hospital. When he got shot and he stood up, and you remember he does this. Now, that wasn't good either. The Secret Service should have removed him. He shouldn't have been standing there for 10 seconds. But on the other side, it shows you the tenacity. And I thought and I remembered, Teddy Roosevelt, by the hand of God, was preserved that day. And this was unique. And so, ladies, I want you to respond to this. Dr. Mark Hitchcock talks about this, and I think it's really significant.
So a lot of politicians and pundits are expressing their thoughts about what happened. And the backstory, of course, about this this would-be assassin is still being filled in. But I don't want to lose sight in all of this of the hand of God. I believe this is one of the most astounding evidences of God's providence that I've ever seen. And I think it's there for the whole world to see. And many well-known periodicals, newspapers, television programs are talking about Christians who are saying that in this they see the hand of God. And to me, it's unmistakable. Just like many of you, I've seen the replays of this assassination attempt many times. In fact, my wife and I watched the events unfold last Saturday evening live on television. I was sitting in my leather chair in my office, kind of one eye on the television, kind of looking at my sermon for Sunday, just kind of thinking that over. And we saw these events begin to unfold. And I can assure you, I'll never forget where I was the day when that happened. When I first saw what was taking place, I thought that President Trump had been shot, and he went down quickly. And I began to pray, and when I saw him stand up, I had a great sense of relief and gratitude, and began to see the chaos and just the things that unfolded there. But my wife was sitting in the next room, and I went in there, and we sat down there together and just watched what was happening. And I told her right at that time, I said, The first thing that's come to my mind about this is 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 34 and following. Because whenever we saw this take place, President Trump was standing here at this podium, and generally he doesn't have PowerPoint presentations. I watched several of his rallies, and he usually doesn't have that. But in the presentations where he does have that, usually it's near the end. But in this particular case, he just kind of made the offhand remark, well, let's go ahead and show this diagram now. And it was something about having to do with immigration. And so because of that, he's turning his head and pointing and kind of pointing at this picture that's on the screen next to him. So he's moving his head, which he normally wouldn't be doing. It'd just be a stationary target. And many have pointed out that his head, right as this bullet's whizzing by, his head turns. If he turned his head a little bit more or a little bit less, the bullet would have struck him and done catastrophic damage, probably would have killed him. So it's just, people have said this is something that comes down basically just to millimeters.
That's exactly right. It comes down to millimeters, and it's the hand of God. And ladies, any additional thoughts that you have?
It's really interesting. I appreciated the fact that Mark Hitchcock said he never uses PowerPoint, or he doesn't usually. He just stands there. He's an entertainer. That's who he is. He's P.T. Barnum up there. But what he had is Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin had this chart on immigration, and he got it from the Border Patrol, and he gave it to President Trump, and President Trump thought it was pretty good, so he thought he'd use it at his next rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. So he put it up there, and you can see he's wanting to actually refer to it. It's not what he normally does. But again, quite literally, in that second, had he not turned his head a little bit, and he wouldn't have had any reason to, had he not turned it, that would have been it. It is the providential hand of God. Why would we think it isn't? Every day that the universe holds together, that is the providential hand of God. And that's why we don't have to fear, because what did Donald Trump say immediately on Truth Social after it was over? He wrote, "Fear not," in all caps. Fear not. And then he said, "This was only the hand of Almighty God." Total glory to God. He knew exactly what happened. We could all see what happened. It wasn't him. It wasn't any. It was the hand of God who did that. And so, do we have a future? Yeah, we have a future in this country. Our future might be that we're out of here. We don't know what that
Amen.
Future is.
How many of you vote for that tonight?
All right,
there you go.
But we got a great future. And that's what I really want to encourage everybody. Start living like optimists. Why wouldn't we? That is exactly what you get when you're a believer. You get optimism. The other part is you get your eyes opened. You get to see what's really happening, and you understand the demonic realm. So that's despairing. But without God, where would we all be? We'd all be anxiety, depression. And so that's why be an optimist. And the other thing is stay in the Word of God. Mm. It's the most uplifting, exciting literature you will ever read, because it's life itself. Jesus says, "I am the Word." And so you take in the Word, you've got life.
Amen. Amen.
Wrapping up part one of my programming today, again, you can watch the August 1st presentation, no cost. If you'd like, olivetreeviews.org, and go to video. You can watch it on our Rumble channel under Olive Tree Ministries. You can get a DVD. Call my office or find the DVD in our online store, olivetreeviews.org. I'm coming back, folks, in just a minute or two, so don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In this age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries and Understanding the Times Radio. Thank you for your loyal and generous support for Understanding the Times Radio, now in its 23rd year. Your prayer and financial support allow the good news of the gospel to be spread around the world, allows us to better encourage one another, and reminds many that time is running out. You can also keep up to date and on top of today's headlines on our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. We post dozens of articles, offer an online store, both print and e-newsletters, a prayer wall, many years of radio programming, and all of our video presentations. You can also learn about our mobile app on our homepage. We can look around and get distressed, or we can look up and know that the King is coming again, perhaps today. And we want you to be excited about it.
A lot of mistakes happened, and I think at the top, those were not mistakes. That was dereliction of duty. And many of the people I've interviewed, and you know these people, think that the top people in our government were involved in this.
We know you can't always be by a radio. So if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, on all of our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now, here is Jan Markell to introduce her guest, Ken Michael, for part two of today's programming.
Transitioning now into part two of my programming, you know, Americans have been in a political suspense, quite frankly, since the Trump-Biden debate back on June 27th. And since then, we've had weeks of turmoil and change, not the least of which was the assassination attempt on July 13th. And new information is coming out daily in that front. More questions continue to emerge from the crime scene in Pennsylvania back on July 13th. I'm going to play a real quick conversation here between Jesse Waters and Senator Josh Hawley. Then I'm going to come back and bring in my very special guest for the balance of the program.
Secret Service whistleblowers are coming out of the woodwork, furious about last week's press conference where the director, Ron Rowe, admitted the agency failed but wouldn't fire anyone. Trump's entire protective detail's been an illusion. The rally in Butler was the first time the Secret Service sent counter-snipers to a Trump event. And those snipers were communicating by text message without Wi-Fi. Only the locals had radios, and according to the Washington Post, the Secret Service wasn't even in the same room as they were. They were in a completely different command center on the opposite side of the farm. Basically, the Secret Service was playing a big game of telephone while Crooks was stalking the grounds. Who signed off on this disastrous plan? According to whistleblowers who've spoken to Senator Josh Hawley, it all comes down to the lead site agent, who they claim is inexperienced and incompetent. Senator Josh Hawley's been speaking with these whistleblowers, and he joins us now. Senator, what have these whistleblowers been telling your office?
Well, what they've been saying, Jesse, is that this individual, the site agent, the lead agent, was known to the Trump campaign to be inexperienced, to be ineffectual, to be, frankly, incompetent at their job. Well, I'm also told by whistleblowers that on that day, she was not enforcing the normal security protocols. She was not checking people's IDs. She did not use Secret Service agents. Most of the agents there that day were not Secret Service agents. They were Homeland Security agents. And get this, Jesse, most of them had never worked a rally before. Oh, and yet God. This is who she chose to staff the event with, and she didn't train them or integrate them. From top to bottom, it was a total disaster. Jesse, it is a miracle, not only that Trump is alive, but that more good Americans were not killed. It's unbelievable.
You're saying that the site agent in charge of this security in Butler wasn't checking IDs? What do you mean? She was just letting people in?
That is what whistleblowers tell me, is that IDs were not checked to allow individuals into secure areas, Jesse. In other words, it was a total free-for-all. Whistleblowers portray to me a circumstance, a situation that was totally out of control, where people were milling around, including in what were supposed to be highly secure areas. Nobody knew who they were. By the way, it was also the lead site agent's job to make sure that the line of sight for where Trump was clear, that agents could see all angles. And she didn't do that. In fact, I'm told that the line of sight was obstructed, which means that agents from different angles couldn't really see around Trump, couldn't see potential dangers to Trump. This is pretty textbook stuff, Jesse. And what whistleblowers say to me is none of it was done properly. None of it was done by the book. And frankly, when you know all that, it's amazing more people weren't killed.
Joining me now is retired police officer Ken Michael. Many of you have heard Ken. He's served many years here in Minnesota, SWAT team experience, Secret Service experience. Ken, thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be with you, Jan. Thanks for having me.
Obviously, we identified as two residents of Minnesota. Therefore, because of some rather breaking news in the last 10 days anyway, our illustrious Governor Tim Walz, now on the presidential ticket, I'm reflecting back, and before we get to our pre-announced segment here, I have to ask you, you're retired police here in Minneapolis, police recruitment down big time because of Governor Walz. Would you please explain?
Yeah, he's personally responsible for the defund the police movement that spread entirely across the nation. And yes, you're right. He is solely responsible for this. They demonized the police. I have friends in the Minneapolis Police Department. They are decimated. They are almost at half staff, Jan. Now you think about this. What I'm hearing is they can barely keep up with the high priority calls that they receive. They don't have the backup they need. In other words, you might have one or two officers going to shootings in progress or very, very dangerous situations. So he decimated this with their defund the police movement. We know that Kamala Harris, who is the potential Democratic nominee, was involved in the funding of releasing a lot of the people that were involved in the George Floyd incident when they were arrested, the very few that were arrested. She started a movement and helped fund the release of many of these criminals. We saw the city of Minneapolis literally burn to the ground. The governor could have and should have. It was his responsibility to make that city safe. He did not call in the National Guard when he should have. And in effect, we saw the third precinct in Minneapolis burn to the ground. It is unheard of. I have friends who were there, who were stationed at that precinct. They were in tears. They could not believe that they gave up a precinct.
Well, they let 1,500 buildings burn. Governor Walz did. Our very liberal mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey, protested. This is back in May, early June 2020, George Floyd situation. Frey appealed for help. Tim Walz plugged his ears and looked the other way. You need to view the video, folks, The Fall of Minneapolis. It is on YouTube. I am shocked it has remained on YouTube with 2.5 million views at this point. The Fall of Minneapolis, it tells the complete story, I believe put out by the conservative newspaper in town, Alpha News. So, Ken, do I conclude? Do they just want to make America Marxist? Is that what they want?
Yeah, just look at your policies. I have friends that are in the legislature here in Minnesota. And the last two legislative sessions, they have passed every single demonic law that you could pass. And it starts with the indoctrination of our children. If you look at what we've done to children, telling them that they can be a different gender, not allowing parents to be involved in the decision-making of their children. I mean, we're passing all of these policies and making schools teach this stuff. So when you have this gender affirmation that the governor is in full compliance with. In fact, he signed off on all the bills now. Minnesota, as you know, has become a gender safe place for children. If any child in America can come here, and if they are having gender affirmation issues or want to transition, Minnesota will take them in and take custody of them so that they can complete that demonic process of actually filling them full of poisonous hormone blockers and or doing the gender reassignment surgery. It's so demonic. I can't even believe we're doing this.
This was all under the leadership of our Governor Waltz. And again, happened because the pro-Hamas wing of the Democrat Party rejected Josh Shapiro, governor of Pennsylvania. And so they looked to the very hard left. Waltz maybe even further to the left than Kamala Harris. Anyway, here's our illustrious governor, Tim Walz, in his own words, praising socialism.
We can get out there, reach out, make the case. And for one thing, don't ever shy away from our progressive values. One person's socialism is another person's neighborliness.
You really want that as the vice president of America. Ken, we got to move on because I want to get to the Trump assassination attempt, which you have some fascinating insights into. By the way, you told me that the whole incident sort of left you in shock. Now, I have two pages of notes, but why don't you first tell me why did it leave you in shock?
When I was in law enforcement, I was actually a SWAT sniper, and I went through the Secret Service training because when the president would come into town, I worked when Clinton came in and Bush and Obama. I was actually assigned a position on our public works building where the president would exit the airport. Our city was right next to the airport. So I had some experience in this. And I can tell you, at that time, the Secret Service would leave no stone unturned. Everywhere the president went was monitored and tracked. Mm. The route was already filmed from overhead. They knew exactly where he was going to be. And the main thing in this whole thing that just blew me away when I started hearing about it was the lack of communications. When I worked with the Secret Service, there was a head of the State Patrol who had a head of the Secret Service detail with him in the car so that if there's any problems along the route, the Secret Service would know about it immediately. And how the Secret Service didn't have communications with local police in this incident is absolutely mind-blowing. And to send text messages and pictures of a suspect and then not go out and confront him, it's just unheard of. So when they talk about mistakes that were being made, I don't look at these as being mistakes because protocol wasn't followed. This is dereliction of duty. Yeah. And that's what I call it. And these are inexcusable. So it leads to the question, was this planned? Was this intentional?
Well, again, the deep state will stop at nothing. We have globalist government at stake, the globalist cabal, and demonically driven globalists likely behind all of this. And by the way, Ken Michael is our representative speaker. He, along with Pastor Josh Schwartz, who's not with us today. You can visit the website, olivetreeviews.org, and go to events, and you'll find all the info you need there to get Ken or Josh to come visit your church or your group. Ken, a lot of mysterious things going on. The young man who was the shooter, he was in a BlackRock commercial. I don't know that that was by coincidence. A whole lot of suspicious things happening, much of it covered up, about the shooter, that is. No social media history, very little anyway. And I think the most fascinating and suspicious, his home, his parents still there, totally wiped. Not even any silverware, no dishes. Really? What's behind this?
Well, those are major red flags.
Yeah.
And until the investigators involved in this come out and say what actually happened, that's going to feed in to these theories that are out there. And I've done hundreds of search warrants. I've never seen a house wiped clean before, especially a house with no garbage, no silverware. You have a young person with no social media history. Are you kidding me? Kids don't exist unless they're on social media. Why were these, like the clip you played, why were counter snipers deployed for this event only? And the dozens that he had before that, there were no counter snipers. So many questions. And as you said, the investigation now, the whistleblowers are coming out and saying, hey, it looks like there's evidence that there was another shooter involved in this. There's so many red flags that if you don't start coming out with facts and evidence to dispute this, it only feeds into it. And you have to remember who's doing the investigation. The same people that have done the past investigations where we've got zero to no answers. And you can go back to Las Vegas. Yeah. You can go back to the shooting in Nashville, Tennessee. You go right down the line, the Hunter Biden laptop. We're talking about evidence that would convict the average person and they're holding on to it. So that's who's doing this investigation.
Well, there were credible threats at the time. This goes back to mid-July. Iran was threatening to assassinate former President Trump. That alone, the biggest red flag. This was being talked about all over America. For that matter, all over the world. This is before it happened, thanks to the threats from Iran.
Yeah, if you look at the perimeter where Trump spoke, I could send a class of cadets out there and ask them to make that area secure for a presidential visit, and they could have done 1,000 times better. If you're standing on the stage and you're looking out at what Trump saw, you had one of the victims of the shooting actually videoing the suspect walking across one of the buildings. Well, the advance team should have looked at those buildings and said, okay, that's where we're going to place our assets. We're going to move the perimeter out. Just beyond that was a huge water tower that they could have placed a sniper on. It had a catwalk all the way around it. That's your perimeter. They set the perimeter up just where the people were watching Trump speak. And people were milling around there. It was actually the people that saw the shooter get up on the roof and started warning the police nearby that he was up there. That is unheard of. Like I said, these weren't mistakes. This was dereliction of duty. And for the Secret Service not to meet with local police and tell them what was going on, give them the site plan, and then to have communications, it's simply unheard of. It would be akin to the Secret Service leaving the front door open to the White House and not guarding it. And then all of a sudden, people are walking around the White House grounds and the Secret Service up on the roof going, wow, what are all these people doing walking around here? I hope nothing bad happens.
You are listening to Understanding the Times Radio, Jan Markell. I have in the studio Ken Michael. He is our representative speaker. Ken, when you go out and visit the churches and the groups and all, you're covering lots of current events from a biblical perspective. What else can you bring to the church?
Well, I think we do a fabulous job of tying in the geopolitical events that are going on with biblical events.
Yeah.
And we look first to the Bible. If we want to know Bible prophecy, we have to be reading our Bible. We have to understand what's going on. Obviously, there's so much going on in the world right now with Israel and Iran, Russia, Ukraine. But if you're reading your Bible, a lot of this makes sense. If you tie those in, you have to read your Bible first. Don't look at everything that's going on in the world and going, okay, is that Bible prophecy? No, you read your Bible first, and then things start to make sense.
Ken, they were yelling at the venue there in Pennsylvania. There's a guy on the roof with a rifle. He was in plain sight. He was ignored. Clearly, he was ignored.
The sad thing is there were two police officers inside that building.
Yeah, inside, not on top.
Exactly. I don't know why you would put two people in a building and not around the building outside, because your vision is obscured, obviously. It's sad because I have a video clip of one of those police officers taking a picture of the suspect about an hour before walking around that building.
Yeah.
So he's probably 3 feet from the suspect. So instead of going out and confronting him, he goes, hey, I think this person is suspicious, sent the picture to the command post. He didn't go out there and confront him. He just thought somebody else was going to look for him and confront him. If I'm in that building and I see someone suspicious, all I have to do is walk outside the building and confront him and say, hey, what are you doing here? I need to see your ID. And none of that happened. And I'm not saying the locals were involved in some conspiracy theory, but a lot of mistakes happened. And I think at the top, those were not mistakes. That was dereliction of duty. And many of the people I've interviewed, and you know these people, think that the top people in our government were involved in this.
The suggestion is that it's a setup. And I think you lean that way, don't you?
Yeah, I think this kid, unfortunately, was a patsy. I interviewed Pete Garcia, who said he had 3 overseas accounts that we know nothing about. Why does a 20-year-old kid have 3 overseas accounts? No social media history. His house is wiped clean. None of this makes sense. All of it points directly towards, at the very least, nefarious people being involved. And I hope it's not true, but I think he was set up.
If this was a right-wing MAGA kid, there would be endless exposés about him. We'd know everything, absolutely everything. We'd know who he'd been dating for the last few years, everything. We don't know anything.
We'd know everything from the time he was conceived until the time he was eliminated.
Talk to me just for a minute about the kid flew a drone overhead. How is it possible that he flies a drone ahead of time, 2 hours earlier, some 200 yards away? Talk to us about that for a moment.
Normally, that area, there would at least be security people there all night leading up to the event. And then at sunrise, all of your assets, your police would get there, and then the Secret Service arrived. So that whole area should have been patrolled by law enforcement well in advance of Trump even arriving there. So for him to arrive there in that whole area where those buildings and the water tower were, to have people walking around there is so inexcusable. I can't wrap my brain around it. That should have been secured well in advance. That kid should have never been allowed to fly a drone over. And then the Secret Service declined a drone use for their use because the local police asked them, hey, we have a drone if you want to fly it over. Why the Secret Service wouldn't fly a drone overhead to get a schematic of the area is also another question that has to be asked and answered. The lead agent and all of the agents that were involved in the security that day, their cell phones, computers, they all should be confiscated. They should all be looked over to see what was said, who said it, and why it was said.
Why? And you used the word nefarious just a moment ago. To me, it is extremely nefarious that they would allow former President Trump, even on the stage, much less for, 13, 14 minutes, while this was all playing out.
Yeah, that should have never happened. As soon as this suspect was identified, and it was about 18 minutes before Trump took the stage, he should not have been allowed on that stage until that suspect was found. And had they looked, had they sent law enforcement out, they would have found him walking around. And then there's one other thing that I haven't heard anyone talk about. And that's after the shots were fired. President Trump went down to the ground. Yep. Secret Service swarmed him. And everybody's given the Secret Service all these accolades for what they did. But if you listen to the tape, whoever the lead agent was, they were confused at first. They said, what are we going to do? What do we do now? They said, we're going to get up and move. So they got up and he actually said, move. And nobody moved. And that is a no-no because even if the sniper was eliminated, they don't have any idea if there was another sniper. They stood there for 10 seconds while Trump asked them to wait, and he wanted to raise his fist up, and that was a great photo opportunity. But if you're protecting the president, he's not in charge at that moment. The lead agent's in charge. And when he said move, they physically move him. And if he doesn't move, then you have to pick him up and carry him off that stage. He should have not been allowed on that stage for over 10 seconds. And like I said, it was a great photo op when he raised his fist up, but that should have never happened because they put lives in danger. They put Trump's life in danger and everyone around them.
Want to be in touch with Ken? Again, olivetreeviews.org, and go to events. The drop down box will take you to all info about Ken Michael and Pastor Josh Schwartz. Ken, you lean towards the fact that the sound of the shots indicates that there could have been, as conspiratorial as this sounds, two shooters. Talk to us for a minute about that.
Well, there was testimony about that in Congress. A former SEAL sniper who is a congressman now, he said that it appears that there's two shooters out there. Well, a forensic scientist who's been doing this now for 30 years, he went out there, looked at the location, analyzed the shots that were fired, and I've listened to him. And if you listen to them, the first three shots are distinctly different. In fact, he says it sounds like it's coming from inside a building, probably shot through a window. And then there's a pause. And then you hear five more rapid fire shots. And I recognize those shots as an AR-15 or .223 round. And they're distinctly different, which would indicate there were two shooters. This professor is 98% sure that there were two shooters at the scene. We're not hearing anything about it. In fact, we're not. When the colonel of the state police was asked, he said, no, I've never heard any of that. How can you not hear about these things when everyone's talking about it? It appears that there's a cover-up going on. There's a lot of people trying to cover up what happened because they don't want to get in trouble for it. Ultimately, the Secret Service is solely responsible for that. My understanding is a lot of the agents that were on stage with the president were not assigned to his detail. In fact, they were from a different agency. They weren't even with the Secret Service. So why would you assign that when you know there's a credible terrorist threat from Iran that they could possibly show up? They're very fortunate that this kid was not experienced, had no military experience, because if there had been an experienced assassination team out there, things would have turned out drastically different.
You would agree with me that the deep state will stop at nothing to get its globalist agenda, its very, very evil agenda installed here in the final days of the church age.
Yeah, if people don't realize that there is a deep state, I hope they do now. And you're right, Jan. There is absolutely nothing they won't do to keep Trump or anyone else out that opposes them from taking power. Please understand that, and I believe this is going to happen before the election, something catastrophic, whether it's a black swan event, whether they somehow divert the election, they will do whatever it takes to stay in power.
Thank you for being so blunt. Ken, you worked with Secret Service. You were a sniper. They leave no stone unturned, correct?
You're absolutely right. From the time the president is wheels down till he's wheels up, every part of his movement is monitored and tracked, and they know where he is, and they know how to keep him safe. Like I said, I can't even believe this was a Secret Service operation that we witnessed.
Folks, I want to go out of the program here. Now, considering the tide of our times, which is characterized, quite frankly, by instability everywhere, I wanted to close with hopeful verses, and I chose these two, Jeremiah 17:7-8. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its root by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. This passage paints a vivid picture of stability and flourishing for those who place their trust in God. Like a tree planted by water, our lives can remain vibrant and productive, even in not just difficult times, but horrific times, when our roots go deep into the faithfulness of God. I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.
Jesus Redeemer, mighty to save. You are.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. The psalmist says that our times are in his hands. Things are never out of control because God is always in control. He has a plan outlined in the Bible. He orchestrates all things so that all that is predicted can fall into place.